Carefully, beloved. The 3 days of meetings are not ordinary meetings. For a word of prophecy has gone forth for this meeting, that there is no one who comes who will go home empty-handed. So I want to congratulate you for finding your way here. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to give you a turnaround breakthrough.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I would like you to open your mouth like fire and like thunder and pick a song of praises in your own mouth and begin to sing it to the glory of the name of the Lord. Any song of praises that comes into your spirit, sing it to the glory of the name of the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. He's glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and in joy to goodness. Ribo sapone ke abo shende rabo kolaba santa yaba. Sing it loud and clear to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. and our God, we thank you for this wonderful evening. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. There is none like unto thee. You are glorious in holiness, you are fearful in praises, and you do dumbfounding wonders. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you because your word says, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. Thank you because you have gathered us here tonight in order to bless us. And thank you for the mighty, wondrous things you are going to do here. Amen. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, touch our lives. Amen. Open our understanding. Amen. Deliver us from every form of ignorance. Amen. Let your power be upon our lives. Amen. Move us forward by your power. Amen. And at the end of this meeting, let all the glory belong to you. Amen. Let all the shame belong to the enemy. Amen. To you, Father, be the glory. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Shout it loud, hallelujah. Before you sit down, I'd like you to shake hands with at least 14 persons. Say you are welcome in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Say they are welcome in the name of the Lord. Welcome them in the name of Jesus. Welcome them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 14, 14, 14. Don't sit down here, don't sit down here. Turn to somebody. Look at the person straight in the eye. Say, my friend. Special announcement. Today is my day. Whether the devil likes it or not, I shall possess my possession. Say, my friend. While others are sitting, you shall be standing. While others are standing, you shall stand out in the name of Jesus. Say, my friend, I love you with the love of Christ, but my miracle shall be bigger than yours. Shout hallelujah. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. Today we are having what we call a yoke-breaking meeting. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, we're having what we call deliverance from family bondage. That's tomorrow. Then on Sunday morning, you are to bring here a list of 7 things you want the Lord to do for you before this year runs to an end. That's Sunday morning. Then in the evening, there will be the anointing service. So that's how these 3 days will run. Today we're having a yoke-breaking meeting. Tomorrow, deliverance from family bondage. Sunday morning, come here with a list containing 7 things we want the Lord to do for you. And by the evening, you come with your olive oil for the anointing service. Praise the Lord. I bring greetings to you from our headquarters in Lagos, Nigeria, where the Lord is blessing us mightily. And I'm sure the Lord too is blessing you mightily here. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This evening, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. It's a wonderful bell. don't have that kind of bell in our village. Amen. Exodus chapter 7. And this evening I'm speaking very briefly on what I call watching the serpents of the magicians. Sisters, what did I say?
Watching the serpents.
Brothers, what did I say?
Watching the
serpents. Exodus chapter 7, I read from verse 10. Watching the serpents of the magicians. Exodus 7, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called, number one, the wise men, number two, the sorcerers, and number three, the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantment. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents elsewhere. So many serpents playing around in the king's palace. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now that looks very simple. But from this short passage that I've read, you can draw out almost 50 lessons. But we won't have time for that this evening. Let's just bring out a few lessons you can pick from here. The first thing you can pick from this passage, the first lesson you can pick from this passage is that there are three kinds of power in the universe. There is the positive power, there is the negative power, and there is the neutral power. All three are presented here. The second thing you can pick from this passage is that there are two major sources of power. There is a power of God which is divine and benevolent and good, and there is the evil power. There, it is represented in this passage. You will be deceiving yourself as a Christian to say that the powers of darkness have no power. The Bible does not teach that. The third thing you can pick from this short passage you have read is that there is something known as the operation and powers of darkness. Whether you believe it or not, it's not relevant. There it is in Scripture. The fourth thing you can pick from here is that there is even something known as the hour of darkness. Because here they threw down their rods became serpents. Moses went ahead and did another miracle, they copied it. Moses did a third one, they copied it. By the time Moses went ahead to another one, their hour had expired. So there is something known as the hour of darkness. Many of us are going through that hour now, and you need to deliver yourself. Amen. The fifth lesson you can pick from here is that there is something known as satanic intermediaries, or what you call satanic agents. There are human beings like us who represent the powers of darkness. Whether you like it or not, it is the blunt truth. You may not believe it, but they are really human beings who go around carrying satanic powers, and civilization has nothing to do with this one. The sixth lesson you can pick from here is that it is possible for the enemy to counterfeit the power of God. Because there, Moses and Aaron threw down their rods and they copied it. It looked like it. They copied it. But they can only go to some level. After some level, their time would normally expire. The only trouble we have is that we don't have enough Christians to confront these things. God will have mercy on us. The seventh thing you can pick from this passage is that there is a serpent of darkness. There is also a serpent of God. But one serpent will swallow the other. Amen. The eighth thing you can pick from this passage is that the serpent of God, the serpent of darkness are both at war. Are both at war. But like I told you before, one serpent has the power to swallow the others. Amen. When a weaker power comes across a stronger power, as a matter of necessity, this weaker power must bow. Amen. It's a rule. It does not change. The next thing you can pick from this passage is this. When you stand around to watch the serpents of the magicians, you will die. If you don't throw down your own rod and get your own serpent to swallow their serpents, you die. What will follow is death. So by standing around to watch the serpents of the magicians and doing nothing, you die. It's as simple as that. And the last point I want to bring out from here is this. You must understand the mystery of the serpent. This serpent against serpent agenda. When serpents were biting people in the wilderness, Moses used another serpent to counter that serpent. So the mystery of the serpent versus serpent is what is known as the mystery of our warfare. We are in a war, whether we like it or not. This is not the war to be fought with guns and karate and kung fu and judo, boxing. No, it's a lot more serious than that. So the serpent versus serpent is what is known as the mystery of our warfare. And this is why you have to listen very carefully now. After this short message, there will be 21 yoke-breaking prayers. And each one is targeted at specific things. And don't joke with any of them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I pray that if there is anyone here tonight who has been spending his or her life just watching the serpent of the magicians display without being able to arrest them, you shall receive power tonight. Amen. You shall receive power. Amen. To arrest every serpent targeted against your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I read the popular verse 12. The mystery of our warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Are we there? So for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible says, for we wrestle. For we wrestle. The word wrestle there is an interesting word. It is one word called pale. And that word represents a kind of wrestling match they used to have in the days of Paul. In that wrestling match, once you get to the ring, you either surrender or you die. There is no round one, round two, round three. Just start fighting and you keep fighting until somebody surrenders or somebody dies. In boxing, there are rules and regulations. For example, in boxing, you cannot hit a person below the belt. And you cannot bite anybody with your teeth. But in wrestling, if you kick your opponent, it's okay. You use your head to smash his nose, it's okay. You strangulate him, it's accepted. You twist his leg, it's okay. So that's the kind of language the Bible uses to describe our war that we're fighting. For we wrestle. Out of all the combatant sports, wrestling is the most aggressive. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And when in this kind of wrestling match, there are no rules. The enemy can eat at anybody, anyhow, from anywhere. This is why you must understand what you are doing. One of the most popular songs in our hymn book says, Christians, seek not yet repose. Hear your guardian angel say, thou art in the midst of fools. Watch and pray. That's songwriters. It says, principalities and powers gather their unseen array and they are waiting for your unguarded hour. Say, watch and pray. That song is in all the popular in books. Many, many years ago, as I finished my prayer one Saturday night and I wanted to sleep, all of a sudden I had a vision. In the vision, I saw myself standing somewhere. And there was a friend of mine, a professor of one of the sciences in the university, standing by my side. Immediately, in that vision, I found that we have both been surrounded by people wearing dark clothes. They were pointing at the professor. So in that vision, it was the professor they wanted. But because I was standing by his side, they couldn't move close. So they now started to deliberate. We were inside this dark circle. They now started to deliberate. Well, we want to catch this professor. But this man standing by his side is disturbing us. How can we remove this man so that we can get the professor? So a discussion started all over the circle. Who will go? First one said no. Who will go and get him? No. Who will go? No. They all turned down the offer. But there was a short woman there. She said, yes, I will go. And the short woman broke the circle and came straight to me. Immediately she came straight to me, I stretched my hands towards heavens and a sword fell into it. As I used the sword, she dodged it. When she dodged it, and I said, there is a problem here. What do we do now? I said, oh Lord, what can I do? This woman has dodged the sword. The Lord said, give her a blow in the chest. So I gave the blow in the chest. Bam! And she fell down. And an angel of God came and was asking me whether to bury her. I said no. And that vision cleared off. That was a Saturday night. I didn't consider it a serious thing. The next Tuesday was our Bible study. After the Bible study, a woman came to me for counseling and told me all kinds of terrible stories. She told me she had lost 3 husbands. She told me she had gone all over the place to solve her problems. And she said what brought her that night was because the previous Saturday was the day her only son was getting married. But right there at the reception hall, the bride fainted. And the bride had to be resuscitated at the hospital. That didn't I think that her problems were many? I said, yes. Many. Okay, so I wanted to pray a short prayer with her and ask her to go away and come back another time. So I held her, we started praying. Just a short prayer. Anytime I wanted to stop the prayer, the Spirit of God would say, son, continue. I wanted to stop, the Spirit of God would say, son, continue. So I kept on. After 10 minutes, all of a sudden, I found that a force grabbed this woman away from my hand, lifted her up, threw her away. I was a bit confused. What happened here? And I ran to where she was. And as I was looking at her, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "Son, look at this face very well. Don't you recognize this woman?" I looked. So look at this again. Then I remembered the revelation I had on Saturday and the short woman that came. It was exactly that face. So and I knew that I was fighting a war. So I took her up. Say, "Madam, why did you come here to tell me that you have problems when you are the architect of your own problem?" Oh, she looked at my face and said, well, we came here to test you, to see whether you are one of those fake ones or you are genuine. Telling you the kind of war in which we find ourselves. Witchcraft has now been completely modernized and repackaged to fit the taste of the modern man. But the essence of it remains the same. If you are looking for witches on broomstick now, you are wasting your time. You won't find them anymore. The witches now wear three-piece suits. They wear the latest perfume. They go about dressing nicely with their mobile phones and everything. Those are the current witches. And unless you know how to disgrace their serpent, they will disgrace you. Because they go about you with their serpents, trying to attack the children of God. But thank God the Bible says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you." So we are in a war. The world is not a playground. It's not a picnic center. It's a hot battlefield. And the earlier you understand this, the better. The Bible says, "My house shall be a house of prayer." We have converted the house of God to the house of dancing and the house of politics. Whereas the Bible says, "It shall be a house of prayer." Meaning that the major thing we're supposed to be doing in the church is praying. It's praying. But the enemy has stolen prayer away from many places. In this battle in which we find ourselves, you cannot be neutral. And you either fight or you perish. The battle is either life or death or heaven or hell. There is no middle camp. You can't say, "I prefer to be neutral." No, all neutral people are working for the devil. Satan has a highly organized headquarters. His headquarters is much more organized than most churches. That's why they call Satan the best pastor. Because he's the only pastor who knows the house of every member. And he pays them regular visits. So you have to know that you are in a war and we need to seriously fight. You also need to know that the two most effective weapons of the enemy is, number one, ignorance. Number two, discouragement. When you are ignorant, the enemy will deal with you and steal from you. When you are ignorant, you will even stay by the table that God has laid before you in the wilderness, and you will scatter the table. Because you didn't see it as a table. You saw it as a problem. So ignorance is a very serious disaster. If you are a serious Christian, you will attract the attention of the enemy. If your destiny is good, you will attract the attention of the enemy. When the enemy has left you alone and is no longer worried about you, the meaning of that is that you have been completely swallowed. The enemy that we are fighting against does not grant freedom easily. He is an obstinate fighter. And we only release what you force him to release. I want you to understand all these facts about the battle in which you are fighting. Also understand that Christians are not civilians, they are soldiers. Because the Bible says the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Also understand that the only language the enemy understands is violence. Violence and total defeat. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Violence and what?
Total
defeat. When the serpent of Moses swallowed the serpent of those magicians, that was the end of all their serpents. Total. Not partial. Because if they were partially swallowed, a partially swallowed serpent can still strike. Just swallowed everything. And that is it. And just as the magicians in Egypt imitated the power of God, there are satanic intermediaries that are trying to imitate the power of God and that are fighting a battle with children of God day and night. And you say, but this is America. We don't have that kind of problem. No. The devil is the same devil all over the world. And in areas where they don't believe that he exists, that's why it does its most destructive acts. Now, the next question I wish to address very quickly. Now we know that life itself is a battle. And all of us are in one battle or the other. The next question I want to address is this. What are the sources of our warfare? We are fighting, but where this war? Where is the warfare coming from? I'll just go through the major sources of warfare that we face. As you are listening this evening, you may be going through your own hard time now. In fact, you may be going through your times of tribulation now. You may be having trouble now. But if you are having trouble, it's not a very bad sign. It's evidence that you are alive. And that God has announced your name in heaven, and they heard what God wanted to do with you, and they are contesting with you. But it's nice for you to know where the sources of your war may be coming from. Sometimes, by just taking out a simple action, some long-standing wars will cease. But if you don't know where the war is coming from, and you want to fight, you are like a soldier who has a very good gun, who has been trained how to shoot the gun, but he doesn't know the enemy. He may even shoot his friends, because he doesn't know who is fighting. What are our sources of warfare? Number one source of warfare is sin. S-I-N. Sin is success in nothing. Sin is a disaster. Sin is a tragedy. Sin has gotten men into a kind of mess that there is no science that can get him out. All sinners are grouping together against God. All sinners are assisting the devil to carry out his agenda. So any sin in your life will invite war to you. Sometimes, by the time people repent from their sins, the major part of their problems are over. But when you have some little sins, some pet sins that you worship, and you rather not let go, then the enemy will use that as a ladder to get into you all the time. All the time. Sin is sin. There is no little sin. There is no big sin. There is no mighty sin. There is no academic sin. Sin is sin. Most of what you call being smart is sin. So if you repent, you'll be all right. Jesus met the man at the pool of Bethesda. And he said, "Mr. Man, will thou be made whole?" And this man, instead of answering a simple question, "Yes, Lord, I would like to be made whole," said, "I have no one to take me into the water. I've been here for 38 years. Jesus said, "Okay, take up your bed, go." And he was healed. Later, Jesus met this man. And Jesus said something to him. He said, "Sin no more. lest a worse thing come unto you. So sin glued that man down for 38 years. 38 years. Sin is a terrible thing. And the Bible says, your sin will eventually find you out. Sin is the greatest detective. It will find you out. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh unto me, but he found nothing in me. When the enemy comes against you, the first thing he wants to see is whether your life is clean. But if you are living in any known sin, war, you fight a war. And until you repent, you keep fighting. You keep fighting. You keep fighting. Many of us need to repent from our little sins here tonight, so that the war the enemy is using against us will cease. Amen. Amen. Someone is praying, oh Lord, deliver me from the spirit husband. Deliver me from the powers of darkness. But you are masturbating until you repent. And depart from that kind of school, the attack will continue. Oh Lord, I want to be delivered from these forces that are attacking me. But then you know that you have this very terrible temper. You lose your temper and scatter everything until you repent. So most times, people who should really repent before the Lord and change from whatever they were doing end up praying prayers when they should be repenting from their sin. So sin brings warfare. That's the first thing. I spend time on this because it's one of the greatest areas where the enemy is fighting us. A sinner is a sinner, whether it's a black person, a white person, or a blue person, a sinner is a sinner. All of them are fighting against God. You may hide from men, but then the Lord can see you. Praise the Lord. I remember that traditional African story. At one man went to another farm to steal from the farm. And he took his little daughter along to the farm of another man to steal crops from the farm. And he told the little daughter, be on your guard. Watch whether anyone is coming. And so the man began to steal crops from the farm. The little girl screamed, said, Daddy, Daddy, there is someone looking at us. Daddy said, ooh. They looked at the right, the left, the back, the front. No one said, who is it? Somebody is looking at us. Daddy said, shut up. After some time, the little girl screamed, said, Daddy, somebody is still looking at us. So the daddy said, ooh, he's looking at us. Little girl pointed up, God. Seen us here. So sin is a disaster. You must repent from it. Number two source of warfare that most of us are fighting is what we call accidental war. A person was in the wrong place, went to a place he should not be, was there at the wrong time, and something goes wrong. War could come into a person's life just by that. Being in the wrong place. Went into an area of war when you really shouldn't be there, and you invite war into your life. Another area of warfare is what you call inheritance. Generational. A person could inherit warfare from his birth. You inherit warfare from his birth. And that is a very, very, very popular war that many people are fighting. They are fighting a battle which they didn't start, but now they can see what is happening. We prayed with someone. Whenever somebody got to the age of 40 in their family, they walk away. So the only kind of people you see around are people who are below 40. When they approach the age of 40, they just walk away. Nobody knows where they will go to. Just walk away. So that's what we call generational. It's heredity. It's going from person to person, from person to person. I pray that anyone suffering from that kind of warfare will be delivered tonight in Jesus' name. Number four, war can arise for you from your environment. The environment where you are can shape your life and can control you in such a way that you end up fighting a lot of wars later in life. There are some environments that are known for their geographical poverty. And if you do come from that kind of place, you need to pray. The fifth area where war can come into our lives is evil influence from others. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. So if you move about with bad friends, of course you invite war into your life. The Bible says if you move with the wise, you'll be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So an influence of others too can bring war into a person's life. The sixth area where war can come into our lives is what those of us who talk about deliverance call curses and evil covenants. A person can operate under a curse. You just find that instead of moving forward, you are moving backward. You find that you are struggling with something you cannot master, you cannot understand it. Curses and evil covenants. You find an evil trend going through the family line, then that can also invite war, and you need to fight that war. The seventh kind of warfare that you could have is what the Bible calls household wickedness. Wickedness from your own household. The first household wickedness in the Bible was a man called Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And the second kind of household wickedness you find in the Bible are the brothers of Joseph, who say, "You, this boy, we are all bowing down for you. We are all going to serve you." No way. So they threw him into the pit. But thank God, because that fellow was following the vision of God for his life, and God saw him through. But not many people are as fortunate as Joseph. The eighth kind of area where war can come into our lives is carelessness. Spiritual carelessness. When you are not praying, you are not reading your Bible, you don't carry out your spiritual exercises, witchcraft powers you don't have, magic power you don't have, Bible power you don't have, nothing. You're just going through life blank. Of course, you make yourself a prey in the mouth of the enemy. This is an age where you cannot afford to be spiritually careless or spiritually weak. If you are weak, you are just watching the serpent of the magicians, and very soon one of those serpents will escape and bite, and that's it. The ninth area where war could come into our lives is from spiritual attacks. Spiritual attacks. When we say spiritual attacks, you don't have to offend anyone. You don't have to do anything wrong. The enemy just does not want you to move forward, and they wage war against you. War could be waged against you out of pure envy. You haven't done anything wrong. This idea that, well, I've been living my life, I'm very kind, I'm good to everybody, so why shouldn't they leave me alone? No, forget it. Spiritual attacks. The tenth area that war could come into our lives is through our own flesh. The uncrucified flesh can invite war into our lives. When the flesh is at the control of your life, it will always invite war. War, war. Because the flesh is in charge. If all of a sudden, as I'm speaking now, I close my eyes on this pulpit, and I said, "Thus saith the Spirit of the living God," all those who are in this crusade tonight, you are not eating again till Sunday evening. And the Lord said, everybody should go into 3 days dry fast. No water, no food, no drink. I'm sure some will say, well, you see, I didn't want to come for this crusade. The one that brought me here. Mr. Flesh will complain bitterly. That's what we call the flesh. Flesh can be a source of warfare for us. And another source of warfare is self-inflicted warfare. Self-inflicted warfare. Warfare that you inflict on yourself. Right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They warned one of my friends many years ago that, look, you have diabetes. Stop eating sugar. Instead of stopping the sugar, you would rather die. So, okay. And he died. So he was the one self-inflicted. And the last but not the least, from where our warfare can come. Our warfare can come from God himself. God himself can be a source of our storms, a source of our trouble. If, for example, you are in this gathering tonight and God has been calling you to work for him, and you are God is the source of your trouble, what you need is to repent and go back to where God wants you to be. If you are backslided, you slide back to God. Slide back to him. Because he will cause trouble for you and no pastor will be able to help you. Somebody has written that when it is God's case, there is no appeal. No appeal. No appeal. No lawyer can help you in the court of the Almighty unless you repent. No matter how good your solicitor is, it's useless when he appears at the court of the Almighty. So these are the 12 sources where war can come into our lives. You need to know where you are fighting from. And you need to know why these troubles are coming. Many of us are going through some troubles now. Many of us don't understand what is going on in our lives. Many of us know that anytime we sleep, we are in a war zone. Many of us discover that no matter how much we struggle to get any small thing done, it's a battle. Many of us know that one day we are on fire for God and we are so strong in the faith, all of a sudden the next day we are so low. Many know that instead of going forward, they are coming backward. Many inside them, something is telling them that, look, this is not where you are supposed to be. I expect you to be like this, like that. But you know, the more you struggle, it will appear as if something is pushing you backward. You are under attack. Perhaps you have just been watching the serpents of the magicians. And you have not programmed your own serpents to attack the serpents of the magicians. I want to counsel you tonight that you should strike out with all the power that you have. So that any serpent program against your life will either die, be swallowed, or go back to where it came from. We're in a war, and we're fighting unseen foes, and we must either win or we suffer. So much about that one. There is a mystery of this warfare we are fighting. I just want to share with you 7 of those mysteries before we start praying now. The mystery of our warfare. Though we walk in the flesh, the Bible says, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Say, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What is the mystery of our warfare? Number one, the first mystery of our warfare is that we are fighting unseen enemies. We fight unseen foes. So this is why the angels I have a lot of respect for Christians who are saved. Because Christians who are saved are fighting unseen foes. But the angels are fighting the enemies they can see. The second mystery of our warfare is this. Your progress is the battle you win minus the battle you lose. Your progress in life is the battle you win minus the battle you lose. So take a decision that even if you lost the battle before, you are going to start winning as from now on. Number three is this. Mystery. No one is excused from that war. Everyone is fighting. Even if you don't believe you are in the fight, perhaps you have already been defeated. No one is excused from that war. Number four mystery is this. Daily casualties in the war is a regular occurrence. Many men and women are victims day by day. The fifth mystery of our warfare is this. The more colorful your destiny is, the harder your battle. The more colorful your destiny is, the harder your battle. The enemy will give you a hard fight. So stop saying, I don't know why my problems are so many. It probably means that you have a very colorful destiny and the enemy doesn't want you to attain that destiny. The sixth mystery of our warfare is that you either fight or you perish. No middle ground. And the seventh mystery of our warfare is that to be a spiritual civilian is to become a casualty. Those are the seven mysteries of our warfare. How many of you want to deal with the serpent of the magicians tonight? Shout aloud, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Now, what do you need to deal with the serpent of the magicians? Number one, you need knowledge. What did I say you need? Knowledge. Knowledge will always govern ignorance. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall set you free. And this, the truth you don't know cannot set you free. But you shall know the truth you know shall set you free. Number two thing that you need in this, in order to deal with the serpent of the magicians, is complete repentance. Make sure that there is no sin at all in any part of your life. So that anytime you say, hey, devil, get out of that place. You won't say, but I can't go. Yeah, part of what is in you. Complete repentance. The third thing you need is that you must become a prayer addict. If you are allergic to prayer, you are already a loser. And anytime there is praying going on and there is something within you that is in a hurry to get out, you need deliverance. And anytime prayer is going on, and there is something in you that immediately prayer starts, the first thing you want to do is to sleep, you need a deliverance. There is something inside that hates prayer. It must go. Huh. And anytime you say you want to do some serious prayer, after 5 or 10 minutes, you begin to say things like, a deliverance is necessary. The fourth thing you need is that you must be an addict of the Word of God. The Bible must be in you. You must understand the Word of God. You don't play or joke with the Word of God. So you need the knowledge, complete repentance, addicted to prayer, addicted to the Word of God. And the fifth thing you need is you must exercise spiritual violence. spiritual violence. The Bible says, right from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Spiritual violence. You must learn spiritual violence, and you must be violent in your spirit. And the last but not the least, for those who want to deal with the serpent of the magicians, is that you must learn the principles of fasting. Fasting. Many of us in this part of the world find fasting very, very difficult. And because of that, the enemy is able to do a lot of havoc. But if you want to kill the serpent of the magicians, there's no way you can escape from fasting. They told Jesus, your disciples are not fasting. He said, don't worry. Let me go away. When I go, they will fast. And when he went, they did. They fasted. This evening, I want you to strike out with all the power that God has put within you as we pray these yoke-breaking prayers. There is something known as 24 hours breakthrough. What did I say?
24 hours breakthrough.
Elisha looked at the king of Samaria and said, tomorrow, about this time, this is what will happen in Samaria. That's what we call 24 hours breakthrough. Israel had been in bondage for 430 years. But one single night, God took them out of that bondage. Moses had been roaming around the desert for years. But at the age of 80, one day, he met God by the burning bush. And as from that day, the life of Moses never remained the same. Joseph was in the prison last night. But by the time he received a 24-hour breakthrough, by the next day, he was already a prime minister. A 24-hour breakthrough. So that when you pray, those who saw you a few days ago, and they now see you a few days later, they should say, what, are you the same one we saw the other time? Or have you changed? One night, Paul and Silas were in jail. The next day, they were outside. The earthquake of deliverance moved in, and they were released. So the purpose of tonight's meeting is for you to have a 24-hour breakthrough. That is, tomorrow about this time, the Egyptians that you saw before, you shall see them no more. You shall see them no more. You shall see them no more. But make up your mind that you have watched the serpents of the magicians for long enough. But now there is no time to play around with. You must deal with every serpent that the enemy throws your way. Please rise up on your feet, please. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here tonight and you are not born again, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, there is no way you can deal with any serpent of darkness. So I want to appeal to you that wherever you are, if you know you are not born again, you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to defeat this warfare that is facing me. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, please just raise up your right hand. I want to be able to pray with you. Want to surrender your life to Jesus? You've not done so before. Want to do so tonight so that you too can be an overcomer. Just raise up your right hand. God bless you. I see that, and God bless you. Those of you raising up your right hand, take a bold step of faith. Very bold step of faith. Come quickly to me at the frontier. Just leave your seat. Come here. I want to be able to pray with you. Just come to the frontier. Those of you raising up your right hand, come out to the frontier. God bless you. Just find a way to the frontier. God bless you.
I surrender all.
our love and trust him. Surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Hallelujah.
Offering my life as a surrender.
Those of you at the front, I congratulate you. Just bow down your heads and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from tonight, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Wonderful God, I thank you for this, your children. I pray, Lord, that the decision they have taken today shall be permanent in their lives.
Amen.
You will uphold them by your power.
Amen.
And you will do great and marvelous things for them.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
Today that they are surrendering their lives to Jesus, let any problem the enemy has put their way vanish in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, dear Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Open your eyes and look at me. You've taken the most important decision in life. Just follow this brother for a few minutes. You can join us later. Just follow him. Follow you. Come on, you join us later. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. All eyes closed. Within the next few minutes, the power of God is going to come down here in an awesome manner.
Amen.
And as that power comes down, anything can happen. If you are suffering from any medical condition, by the time the power of God comes down here, that condition will vanish.
Amen.
If you are one of those who are here and the enemy has blocked your way in every area, as you pray this prayer, you shall receive a 24-hour breakthrough.
Amen.
So get yourself ready. The kind of prayer I want you to pray is the blind Bartimaeus kind of prayer. Who said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And as he cried to the Lord, he got an immediate breakthrough. So that the prophecy of Elisha too can happen in your life. That tomorrow about this time, those who saw you today will see a different you. Say this after me with holy anger. Say, any power that wants to waste my life. Can you say that with holy anger? Can you be more aggressive than that? Can you shout it louder than that? Can you say it with holy and boiling anger? Die! In the name of Jesus, any power that wants to waste my life, deal with that power now. In the name of Jesus. To waste my life, command those powers to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Aha, 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 aha. Look at what is happening already. Look at what is happening already. In Jesus' name we pray. Aha. That's better. We are making progress. We are making progress. Every yoke of the oppressor. Break. Break. In the name of Jesus. Command the yokes to be broken. Break the yoke of the oppressor. In the name of Jesus. That's right, that's right. Continue, continue, continue. Masepola kaya boshende raboko sepola ba. Break, 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 break. In the name of Jesus. Command the yoke of the oppressor to be broken. Let them be broken. Let them be broken. Let them be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. We are making progress. Pray two out of the prayers we want to pray. Number three prayer I want you to pray is this. My destiny.
My destiny.
Arise.
And confuse my enemies.
Can you say that loud and clear? Yes. In the name of Jesus, command your destiny to arise. Masete aboko shende aboko sepela bakaya ba. Ribo sapanda kaya bo shente abora baraba. Aha, 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 aha. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to believe that you are praying. Anything planted in my life to demote me. Can you say that loud and clear? Die! In the name of Jesus. Anything planted in my life to demote me. Command these things to die now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Masepola boko shende rabo sente yaba. Aha, 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 aha. Anything planted in my life to demote me. Masikaya bosh. In Jesus' name we pray. This is number five. Everything the enemy has destroyed in my life be repaired. Can you say that loud and clear? In the name of Jesus. Yes, command it to be repaired. Be repaired. Be repaired. Masikaya boshentera bosento la bakaraba. Aha, aha. In Jesus' name we pray. This is number six.
Power of God.
Move me from the back to the front.
Can you say that loud and clear?
Yes.
Shout it louder than that. In the name of Jesus. Move me from the back to the front.
Aha, aha, aha.
Move me from the back to the front. Open your mouth and say it. In Jesus' name we pray. Say special announcement.
My time of favor has come.
In the name of Jesus.
Make the special announcement.
My time of favor, my time of favor has come, has come.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Say, power of impossibility. Shatter! In the name of Jesus. Destroy the power of impossibility.
Shatter that power.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Masapoya kaya boshendera bosenta. In Jesus' name we pray.
My hidden glory
appear by fire.
Can you shout that loud and clear?
Yes.
Say it louder than that.
In the name of Jesus.
Command your hidden glory to appear.
That's right. My hidden glory appear.
Appear, appear.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Are you tired?
No.
Why is it moving forward?
Yes.
Every serpent and scorpion.
Targeted against my destiny.
Can you say that loud and clear?
Can you say it louder than that?
Die! In the name of Jesus.
Deal with the serpent and scorpions.
Every serpent and scorpion.
In
Jesus' name we pray.
Say, every garment of shame
be roasted.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, deal with the garment of shame.
Command them to be roasted.
Jesus' name we pray.
Say, arrow of affliction.
Can you say it loud and clear?
Backfire.
In the name of Jesus.
Command the arrow of affliction to backfire.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Masipo kaya bo shende raboko sente ya baraba. In Jesus' name we pray.
I will not stay
in any satanic bus stop. Can you say that loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it. I refuse to stay in any satanic bus stop. I refuse to stay in any satanic bus stop. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, I shall walk away from here with a miracle. Can you declare it loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and say that loud and clear. I shall walk away from here with a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. 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 In Jesus' name we pray.